Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's Lean Keys Real Talk. Back with another episode. This is number 109, episode 109. In this episode, what we're going to be focusing on is a big UFC event that is happening this weekend. It's happening in 3 days, and we just thought that this would be the perfect time to preview the card. You know, this is definitely one of the biggest cards of 2019 so far. I'd say probably, you know, back in March, I think it was March, we had UFC 235. That was probably the biggest card of the year at that point. Then we've had, since then, we had UFC 239. That was the next biggest card. And then this one is probably next up after that. You also had UFC 238, which was a pretty stacked card also. But so those four cards pretty much were all really big. But this is just pretty much the next big one for 2019 so far. And it has a really highly anticipated rematch between the heavyweight champion Daniel Cormier and the former heavyweight champion who broke the heavyweight record for title defenses with three title defenses. That's Stipe Miocic. He's one of my favorite fighters, so I'm definitely excited to see that rematch happen finally. It's been a little over a year since their first fight, so I'm sure there's a ton of people excited to see this rematch. So, yeah, we got my boy Lee gonna chime in, and we'll chop that up in a little bit. Lee, how you doing today?
Hello, man. What's going on, man? Can you believe it's August already, bro? It's almost the end of summer, man.
Yeah. Tell me about it. That's been on my mind, too. It's been a good summer, but it definitely flew by.
Hell yeah, man. It's about to be snowing again out here, man. But, man, I'm definitely looking forward to this weekend's card, man. Long way to rematch between DC and Stipe. DC said that he doesn't see any way that Stipe can beat him. And, you know, we're going to have to see how this thing play out Saturday, man. But I'm excited, though. And I got to take my boy Nate Diaz off this don't talk about list. Because it's like we actually going to make it this Saturday, and he's going to step in the cage. So, yeah.
You know, it's actually perfect for you to say that because, you know, I've definitely had my doubts about him, like, ever fighting again for, like, kind of a while now. We both have. And there was a point I remember on our show where you had kind of said that you just didn't want to talk about the Diaz brothers anymore you didn't even want to hear questions about them or nothing, because it kind of just came down to the point for you where, and to the point for a lot of people where it was either like, okay, either these guys are going to fight, they're either going to accept the fight, or we're just going to stop talking about them because we're fans of these guys because of their fighters. That we're not trying to see all the antics and there be no fight and you know, all these quotes and rumored fights and nothing ever comes to fruition. So, I mean, it looks like, you know, you might get your wish. You might see a Diaz brother fight in 3 days. It's looking like it's going to happen. So,
hey, I got a quick question for you. Did you put out your underrated fights for this weekend?
They haven't gone to publish yet, but I did just finish them up a little while ago. I just finished them up a little while ago and sent them in, but they'll probably get published like either later tonight or tomorrow morning.
Okay. Did you write about my boy Sanhagen or and a Sunfowl, or did you dig deeper this time?
Nah, I didn't write about Asuncion and Sanhagen because that one I felt is more – what?
Yeah, I kind of – yeah, because a Sun Sal is number two, and San Hagen is what, like number five or number six or something?
Yeah, so that fight's more.
Okay,
more,
I guess.
Those are like higher ranked guys where it's like I try to keep those, you know, let other writers write about those guys. I try to pick out, you know how I do it. I try to pick out the guys.
Yeah, I
who,
got you.
For the most part, nobody's ever heard of, but not meaning that they're not prospects. You know, I try to research and find the fighters who I feel like, wow, this is a fighter that, you know, people might be sleeping on a little bit, but they're actually really good. So those are the ones I really look for. And then I did.
Okay,
I'm definitely pulling out some. Wait till you see what I got. This underrated fights is a really good one. I really dug deep on this one and really did the research, and I found some amazing statistics that I have in my article. And there's actually I'm just going to shout it out on this show because one of the guys that I wrote about who's fighting this weekend is actually from – he lives out my way. He's actually from Massachusetts, and he's undefeated, 14-0, with – 11 of his, he's undefeated, 14-0. He's 3-0. He's 3-0 in the UFC so far. So it's not one of those situations where it's like, you know, a guy is 10-0 on the regional circuit, but has he been tested in the UFC? This guy has been tested in the UFC and is undefeated in the UFC so far, with three finishes. So he's doing unbelievable. And out of the 14 fights, he has 11 of his 14 wins are first round finishes. So this guy is unbelievable. His name's he goes by the name of Manny Bermudez, Manny the Bermudez Triangle, Bermudez, and he'll be fighting. He's fighting another guy who I wrote about on my underrated fights. And if anybody remembers this, a couple months ago, I also spotlighted this guy, and he's going to be fighting Bermudez, Casey Kenny. Casey Kenny debuted. And I had him. His debut fight was on my underrated fights when he was debuting against Ray Borg at bantamweight, and he beat Ray Borg. Now he's gonna fight Bermudez. Now you got two of my underrated guys fighting each other. How about that?
That's good work. That's good work.
Man,
that's
I'm
good
loving
work.
It right now.
You dig deep in those Jones. I mean, you really dig. You really go deep. Next level in your underrated fights.
And then another one, and then I just heard an announcement the other day. You got me going on this topic now, because I just heard the other day I just saw something pop up on my phone, and it something just popped up on my phone. My bad. I just got lost for that for a second. Someone was saying something about the Diaz fight. I don't know. Diaz was apparently smoking a joint at the open workouts, and I thought I just got a text saying that maybe the fight might be off because Diaz is smoking a joint. So I don't know. But we'll get back to that. That might be like some kind of breaking news thing right now. We better break news on the Lean Keys show right now if that's the case. But anyways, let that to the side. So another girl from my underrated fights, her name is Amanda Ribas. She hadn't fought in a couple of years, and she just recently came back and got an impressive win in her comeback fight, you know, off of like a 3-year layoff. And now, I had her in my underrated fights, right, for her comeback fight. And then now I just saw an announcement the other day. She's getting a big fight with Mackenzie Dern.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah, man. So my underrated fighters are moving right now. I keep bringing up these names, and y'all can keep sleeping on my underrated fights article, but just know that all my underrated fights, all the girls and guys I've been having in my underrated fights are making moves in the UFC right now. And you're only going to see them more, and you're going to see better performances and bigger fights for all my underrated fighters. And you're just going to remember who told you about them when they were 0-0. Well, who told you about them when they were 3-0? Wait till they're 10-0, and wait till one of them's a champion. Then you'll remember you heard it here first.
Yeah, man. Like I said, when I read it, you know, I'm always like, man, you dug deep on that. But look, man, you know, we got this big card coming up. So what fight are you looking forward to the most, man? What fight are you looking forward to?
The fighter. The fight I'm looking forward to the most, man, off top, that Manny Bermudez and Casey Kenny fight, I'm really looking forward to. That's probably the biggest one that I want to see right there. But as for underrated fights, and then there's the Corey Sandhagen fight. I really want to see that too. I think that'll be a good one. And then as for the main card, though, that's all like these, you know, not high level, but all these big hype fights. And you have the Yoel Romero fight. I'm really looking forward to the Romero and Costa fight because that one is another one that almost happened so many times, and now we're finally getting to see it. So I'm really looking forward to that one too, man.
Yeah, I think for me, the fight I'm definitely looking forward to is I want to see Corey Sandhagen against Asasao. I think Sandhagen is up and coming. He has a lot of talent. This will be a big test for him. I think if he wins this, he probably will fight maybe the loser of the Sterling-Peter Yan fight, or maybe even fight Marlon Moraes. So I'm definitely looking forward to Corey Sandhagen versus Asasao. And then I can't believe I'm about to say it, but I'm looking for the return of Nate Diaz, man. Nate Diaz versus Showtime Pettis. A lot of people don't know that I'm a big fan of Nate, so I like Nate. I like the way I like the way he fights in the ring because he can not just stand up, you know, he can fight off his back. You know, he ain't one-dimensional. Then if he wins, you just don't know what the hell he's going to say on the microphone or if you can understand what he's saying because, man, the way he talks sometimes it's hard to understand him. But I'm definitely looking forward to the return of Nate Diaz going against Anthony Pettis. I think that fight is going to be good. I hope nothing fluky happens to Pettis because normally when Pettis is in a good fight, something fluky happens to him. Like when he fought Dustin Poirier, he broke a rib. Then when he fought Tony Ferguson, he broke his hand and something else happened. So I'm hoping that, you know, we get a three-round war in that fight. But, yes, I'm looking for the return of Nate Diaz and also the up-and-coming Corey Sandhagen. Those are the fights I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point you made about Showtime. Is like I hope for Showtime nothing fluky like that happens. There's no like freak injury. There's no like you know, kind of like, you know, he wasn't in this fight, but kind of like a fluke ending like Tony Ferguson's last fight when he fought Cowboy Cerrone and then he won by TKO, but really like it wasn't really a TKO because Cowboy kind of, if he didn't blow his nose, then his eye wouldn't have popped. So it was kind of like a fluke ending in that way, where it's like he really didn't get finished. He just blew his nose, and he shouldn't have did that because if he didn't blow his nose, yeah, it made his eye close. So like that kind of fluke ending is something that I hope we don't see with Pettis because, like you said, he does tend to have these type of things pop up in fights where he can't continue and, you know, the corner throws in the towel or something like that. I hope that doesn't happen because I want to see that 3-round war. I think that fight could be fight of the night, I think, easily.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, Nate been off like, what, saying like 2 years, maybe 3 years. I think his last fight was the Conor fight. So hopefully he can't afford to come out. He can't afford to come out and be rusty against Showtime, because I don't think he want to dig himself a hole like that. So I think he needs to come out and establish, get Octagon control ASAP, and then just go ahead and do what he do. But I think Anthony Pettis, since he moved up to 170, man, he's been a different fighter. So I think this fight is going to be awesome. And, actually, Conor hasn't fought since August 19, 2016. So that's almost a year to the date of the next fight. Because Dan's the 14th, so that's almost, 3 years to the date.
Who hasn't? Oh, Diaz?
Yeah, his last fight was August 19, 2016. Today is August 14th, 2019.
Yeah,
so
the day they fight will be.
It's gonna be.
He'll be 2 days out.
Yep.
He'll have fought 2 days. So the Monday after the card, it will have been 3 years. But they're fighting 3 days before. So, yeah, about 3 years. I mean, like you said, the way Pettis has been looking at 170, Pettis is only had one fight at 170, but still, the way he crash landed into the division with that one fight, it was the way he won that one fight. It wasn't like he just had a fight and like went to a decision with somebody and it was just like whatever. You know, he actually knocked out Wonder Boy, and that hasn't been done in a long time. Wonder Boy hasn't been knocked out in a long time. I don't even know if Wonder Boy had ever been knocked out in his career, actually. Now that I really think about it, I don't think he actually had ever been knocked out in his career before. I think that was the first time. So you might, somebody somewhere might be fact-checking that right now and saying I'm wrong. But off top, I think my UFC knowledge is pretty good. So if you fact-check that, I think I'm right. So just let that be known. But, yeah, I don't think Wonder Boy had been knocked out ever in his career. So just the way that Showtime had kind of crash-landed into the 170 division now has just been crazy. And then, to fight a guy that hasn't fought in 3 years. I mean, who knows what Nate's going to look like? I really don't know, because, maybe he's been training a lot in his time away, or maybe he hasn't. I really have no idea. I don't really follow him like that, so I don't know what to expect from him, but I know when he comes to fight, and it's probably going to be unbelievable. I expect a lot from both of those guys.
And I think another fight that people should keep their eye on is Derek Brunson versus Ian Heinisch. I think that fight is going to be good, man. I think Brunson is a proven guy, at 185. I think his last fight was, I want to say it was Adesanya, but I think he fought since then. He fought on Elias Theodora, who's not with the UFC anymore, and he won by unanimous decision. But Ian Heinisch, man, this guy, man, he's a beast in there, and I think Brunson better come to fight, because this guy is nice with it. This guy is nice. He got some nice skills. He ain't scared to go to the mat, He won Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. He won that fight by KO, and then his two fights in the UFC have been by decision. So, we'll get a strategic fight from him, but I think Brunson needs to come out and establish himself, put pressure on him, and hopefully take him down a couple times with some ground and pound and see what he can do. But he better not let Heinisch get in there and build his confidence up, because once Heinisch does that, I think it'll be a long night for Brunson.
Yeah, that's a really good fight as well. Do you want to, I'm kind of just like taking a look through the betting odds right now on Oddshark. And there's a lot of really close odds for these fights. This is a tough card to I mean, I'm not a pro bet or anything like that. No, I'm an amateur. But, you know, just looking at it, I would think that this isn't really a card that
I would actually bet on fights.
Yeah, yeah, because just looking at it, like the lines, are, the betting lines are too close. Like, I don't see how somebody would win big money on this card. I mean, like I said, I'm not an expert. Maybe somebody who knows more could show me up and tell me how they're going to win $1,000 on betting on Cormier. I mean, unless you're doing straight prop bets or something like that, like Cormier to win by knockout or something like this, just betting the odds, I don't know how you're going to win a lot of money. I mean, just looking at the odds on Odd Shark, you know, they probably vary, but they have Cormier at a minus 140, and then Stipe is at a plus 110. So, like, that's a really close line right there. Yeah, that's a really close line right there for the main event. And then it's pretty much the same it's actually the same. It's showing the same exact odds for the Pettis and Diaz fight. They have Pettis coming in at a minus 140 and Diaz at a plus 110. So that's another really close one.
And I think if I was betting on these fights, I probably would do like a five-fighter parlay. I think I would do a five-fighter parlay. I wouldn't do like a one-on-one because so many fluky things could happen. I think I would do probably jump into a parlay instead of doing a one-on-one. I think you'll probably have a better shot doing a parlay because normally with a parlay, you can take a favorite. Then you probably could pick one of your dark horse fighters. So you have a better chance of winning with a parlay than a one-on-one. Just because let's say if you was to pick Pettis and he was to get hurt, then basically you lose. But if you was to pick, you know, Diaz, Cormier, Romero, Heinisch, and then Sunfire, I would feel comfortable about picking those five to win their fights versus just picking one guy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think if I was to do a five-fighter parlay, I probably would go with Bermudez, Sanhagen, Heinisch, Cormier, and Romero. Those would be the five I would pick.
Yeah, those sound like pretty safe. Pretty safe bets. You know, I have a friend who, you know, he acknowledges that I have, you know, I'm pretty well versed in the UFC knowledge and happen to know a lot about most of the fighters that we watch. And, you know, I don't know everything, but I mean, it's just more than most, especially where I do so much research with my weekly column and everything. I happen to just know these random facts about a lot of the fighters. So he often bets and comes to me with betting questions. And I actually stopped making predictions for him, you know, at this point, rather just give him an idea of like some of the statistics of the guys that he's betting on. So like tell him some stuff about Diaz and what Diaz has done, tell him some stuff about, you know, like the Casey Kenney and Manny Bermudez fight. Like, for example, Casey Kenney, within his last five fights, I want to say he's had, out of his last five fights and out of those wins he's had, which he has like at least, I think he's 5-5 in his last five fights, or at least 4-1. He's had like three or four decisions. So he's mostly been winning by decision in his last five fights, as to where Bermudez in his last five fights has been all finishes. Bermudez doesn't have any. No, he has a few decision wins, very few. Out of his 14 wins, he has 11 finishes. And he's 11 first round finishes. And out of his last five, he's had, you know, there's been no decisions. He's been finishing guys. So, and three of those were in the UFC. You know, Kenny only has one fight in the UFC, and he won by decision. So, that's just kind of like some things that I try to do because I don't know. I'm no expert on betting, and usually if I make a prediction, I end up being wrong. But what I just enjoy doing now is just giving people some background knowledge on who they're betting on, you know, so they can kind of make their own decision based on the facts.
Well, I don't mind making predictions. I think it's a fun part of the sport. I mean, you know, especially what we do here on our show, you know, it's definitely a fun thing, especially, you know, when we get to see MMA Twitter fans, well, I ain't gonna say fans, universe be out there picking to win fights. But I just think with me, I like the science of the fight. Yeah, you know, I really like to break it down as far as, you know, what a guy's strengths is, what his weaknesses are, compared to the strengths and weaknesses of his partner, I mean, of his opponent. So I think that's the part I like the most, especially when we get to talking about, you know, especially these big cards. Like, this is a big card. This is what I call a pay-per-view card, because the last couple cards really ain't been pay-per-view worthy. But this card right here, this would be a card I would buy and have a fight party at my house with, this card.
Yeah, this is definitely that kind of caliber. You know, I don't know, you know, everything about the I don't know everything about the criteria that's needed to influence Lee to purchase a pay-per-view and have a fight party at his house. I don't know the exact, you know, things that need to be included in a pay-per-view, but if I had a guess, I would have said, too, that this would be one that he'd have a fight party for. And it doesn't even include John Jones. It don't even have Jones on the card, but you might still have a fight party for this one, I would have guessed.
No, I'm not having a fight party, man, because I'm going out of town next weekend. So I'm going to be out of town to Labor Day. So now I'm not going to buy the fight. I'll probably go somewhere and watch it. Or I might just watch it on a Fire Stick. I don't know yet. But I'm not having a fight party this week. But it'll probably be one probably at the end of this year, maybe the MSG card or maybe the Vegas card. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I see you jumping on the next John Jones card. So if he's going to fight at MSG or probably fight on that New Year's card that he likes to fight on, I feel like it'll probably be one of those two, but I'd probably lean John Jones for the December card. That's what I would think. But yeah, I see you ordering that one for sure.
Yeah, because I think Max is going to be on that card too. I think you're going to have Max Holloway and Volkanovski on that December card, too. So I think you're going to have two title fights on that card. So, yeah, I'm definitely probably going to jump on that Vegas card.
You think they'll have Holloway on that December card? That quick of a
– Yeah.
You know Holloway's fought three times in, I think, 8 months. I want to say three times in – Yeah, I think it's three times in 8 months he's fought. Because if you really think he had – wait a second, who he fought?
If he was
fought,
a fight
– he fought Poirier. Because
I wrote about
– he fought Poirier and who did he just fight? Frankie. He fought Poirier and Frankie pretty much back-to-back. He had April and then July. So he pretty much finished the Poirier fight and then probably had like a couple weeks – maybe not even a couple weeks. Honestly, probably not even a couple weeks. He probably went right out of the Poirier fight and then right into the next fight camp to fight Frankie Edgar because he probably already had the contract waiting for him right after the fight to sign to fight Frankie. So salute to that, first of all. Max Holloway, unbelievable. That's the work ethic, man, for the UFC. That stuff like that cannot go underappreciated. People need to put some respect on Holloway and guys like that who will just – go right out of a fight, win or lose. You know, he happened to lose to Poirier, but, you know, and it was a good fight, and they went the distance. That was a war of a fight. He had a five-round war with Poirier. He lost and then went right into another fight camp to defend his other belt. That right there, that work ethic needs to be recognized more. People need to put more respect on that.
Yeah, because when I wrote that article about his next fight, I wrote about him fighting Volkanovski. They were saying if he was to fight Volkanovski in October, it'd be 4 fights in 10 months. So that's why they were saying they probably put him on the end of the year card instead of the October card. But they were saying that the stadium that they have in the Adesanya Whitaker card is going to draw at least 50 to 60,000 folks. So they wanted to, and Volkanovski is from Australia. So that's why they was, I think they're going to try to talk Max into doing that. I hope he don't do it, because I think he needs to let his body heal and just be fresh for the end of the year card instead of rushing himself back out there.
Wait, you're saying that they're trying to get all the way on the October card?
Yeah. That Volkanovski.
That's crazy.
That's what I was saying. I was like, nah, that's not good work, because you're gonna have him fighting 4 fights in 10 months.
Yeah, because you really think about it, I mean, he just fought Ortega. He fought Ortega in December of 2018, right? And then he fought again in April 2019, so that was 4 months later. And he had three, and then he fought again 3 months later in July. Wait, was it July? Yeah, late July he fought Frankie. So he basically just did back-to-back-to-back title fights. He just had three title fights really in – about 7 months, not even 8 months. He pretty much had three title fights in 7 months. So he's almost working at a fight every 2 month average right there, you know, 2.5 month average. That's and then the UFC want him to fight again. Nah, man, the fans need to chill, bro. The fans need to calm down. This is the stuff I don't like, because after a while, it's like, bro, you guys just want to see him lose, I feel like. At a certain point, like, you want to see guys lose, because, like, how long you think his body's supposed to hold up moving at that pace? And not to mention, he's probably not even getting to see his family in between these fights. He's probably just basically going right from a camp and then get the fight and then start another fight camp, you know, a couple weeks after the last fight. So he's probably not even getting to go home. Like, and that kind of stuff is not – It shouldn't be. This guy shouldn't be. You know, guys shouldn't be living in the fight. You know what I mean? Especially when you're a champion. Like,
yeah.
Let the dude chill. He's fighting the best guys in the world in every division he fights in.
Yeah, man. I think just for competition's sake, he probably should just sit it down. You know, sit it down for the rest of this year. I mean, until the end of the year. Don't try to get on that. Then October card, especially going against Volkanovski in his home country, I just think that'll be I just don't think that'll be a good look. And I think the UFC needs to realize that too. Kind of rest up a little bit, because Jones is gonna fight again in November or December. So that's gonna put him at 4 fights in a year. So yeah, I think the UFC needs to think about that, bro.
Well, Jones too, because Jones is in the same pretty much situation as Holloway. They've been kind of almost working at the same pace, because Jones fought Gustafson December 2018. I want to say that was, those were different cards, but they were like a couple weeks apart. You had the Holloway fight was like the first, the second week of December, and then you had 2 weeks later. 2 or 3 weeks later, you had the Jones and Gustafson rematch. So he fought Gustafson in December, then he fought March versus Smith, and then he just fought 4 months after that against Santos. So Jones basically just had
three title fights in 7 months as well. So him and Holloway have been pretty much going at the same pace. Him and Holloway gave the UFC six title fights, six main events, pretty much. They gave six title fights, which were six main events in 7 months. So at the same time, six title fights in 7 months, and that's two champions in six main events. So that's the statistic for the night right there. Just let everybody just think about that fact and put some respect on their name. Look at all the good fights that Jones and Holloway have gave us and the work they put in, back-to-back-to-back title fights. I wouldn't even be mad if they didn't fight. You know, of course I want to see them fight, but if neither one of them chose to fight until, like, early 2020, I would have to accept it. Of course, I'd be a little bit upset because I want to see them fight as a fan, but I'd understand because when you work at that pace, you got to chill and let your body relax for a little while. Because these guys' camps and all their coaches and everything are going through the camps with them. How many camps are you guys going to do?
Yeah.
You know, this is at a certain point, like quality over quantity. You know, if you multitask and you're doing too much and you keep ripping and running your body, eventually it's not going to put out the same quality, the output. Is not going to be the same. So, you know, too many fights could eventually lead to, you know, we said the same thing kind of about Cerrone. Like, Cerrone fought so many times, you know, and Cerrone fights consistently so often, you know what I mean? Now it's like, and it makes you wonder, like, is Cerrone really helping himself fighting that
no.
often? And we said that on this show many times.
Yeah, because you could tell, like, because Cerrone, you know, when he just gives his body time to heal up, he just looks so much better in his fights, man, instead of when he's fighting, like, every other month or every 3 months he's on a card. And I'm like, yo, man, let your body heal, bro. Jeez. I mean, I know it's about the money. You got to make as much money as you can, you know, but at the same time, take your body into account. And, you know, actually, I think Cerrone has actually slowed down a little bit with the number of fights he take, you know, which he take on. So I think that's a good thing. But I'm with you, man. I really wouldn't be upset if John or Max didn't fight for the rest of the year. I think the UFC will probably pressure them into, like, jumping back in the cage. So I'm thinking they'll both be on the December card. So that's what I'm looking at. They'll probably both be on the December card.
Yeah, we'll just have to see what happens with that. do you want to go through and do fight? What do we got for time? You want to run through and do fight predictions?
Yeah, man, let's go.
Yeah, so I don't like to give people predictions, like people that are betting. So, like, that's what I kind of stopped doing, like telling people who to bet on, because then if I tell them who to bet on, then usually I'm wrong. Like, when I say that someone's going to win, like, it just seems like they always lose. If I don't say anything, my guy will win. But if I, you know, most of the time if I say they're going to win, they lose in terms of – you know, when somebody's betting. But on our show, I do like to do these predictions because it's a fun aspect of the show, and it is interesting to see who we pick, you know, what fighters we pick the same, and then how it pans out, you know, the week after, and we can chop it up and see how we did. So I'm going to pull up the card right now. You want to do let me pull up. Give me a second here. I got to pull up the full card. Maybe we could do the top three, do like a couple fights off the prelims, because we don't always know enough about every fight to really make a prediction, so it don't really make sense. sometimes. I don't really like to make predictions when I really don't know enough about either fighter. Okay, so one thing that needs to be noted is that Devontae Smith, I believe Lee, you're familiar with Devontae Smith.
Hold on, I gotta see his picture.
Yeah, so look him up. You'll probably know him when you see him. This guy, you'll remember.
Oh yeah,
his fight.
He got lanky hair.
Yeah, he's. I'm pretty sure he fights at lightweight, and he's really good.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
guy. You know, this guy is. You know, he's been taking the UFC by storm since he came in here. So, Devontae Smith is unbelievable. This guy has, like, I think he's like 10-1 or something like that with 9 knockouts. So, this dude just likes to just knock people out. That's just pretty much what he does. So, but one thing to note about the card overall is that Devontae Smith was originally supposed to fight Clay Collard, but Clay Collard had to withdraw from the fight for unknown reasons. So now Devontae Smith is fighting. I have it in my underrated fight. He got a short notice opponent.
Worthy.
He's fighting Kama Worthy. Yeah, that guy is making his UFC debut, and he's also on like a 4 or 5 fight win streak on the regional circuit. So that guy's coming in to fight Devontae Smith. That's just one thing to note about that. So you know, we could start with that fight, or if you want to do Jakar Klaus, he's on this card too.
Yeah, man, they got some bangers up here, bro.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, let's start with you want to start with the Manny Bermudez fight?
I think Bermudez is gonna outwork him. I think his energy and his pace. I just don't see Kenny being able to stay up with him. I think Bermudez wins this fight rather easily, maybe by stoppage in the second round. So I'm going Bermudez on that one.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I might have some kind of Massachusetts biasness towards Bermudez because, you know, that's my boy. You know, Massachusetts is coming through, taking the UFC over. You know, we already got Rob Font, and we got Calvin Cater, actually. We got Rob Font and Calvin Cater already taking over the game, you know, in their respective divisions. Bantamweight. Qatar is at featherweight. Yeah, Calvin Cater is at featherweight. So Massachusetts has already taken over the bantamweight and featherweight divisions. And Bermudez is about to take this over too. So, yeah, I'm going to take Bermudez there because Massachusetts all day. Bermudez is going to win by stoppage. I think he's going to finish Casey Kenny within the first 2 rounds. And, yeah, our next fight there, you have Rafael Sunstown, Corey Sandhagen. This is your fight, bro.
This fight is really tough for me to pick, man. Because Sunstown is so seasoned. He's a vet. And Corey Sandhagen, you know, he's up and coming. But sometimes the bright lights get the fighters. But I'm hoping it doesn't get to my man Corey. I'm going with Corey Sandhagen by maybe a split decision. I think a Sunside style is normally boring but effective. So I'm going to go with Corey Sandhagen, man, in a close fight. I think he wins by a split decision.
Corey Sandhagen. Man, yeah, that's the thing about Corey Sandhagen. I feel like Sun Tao has been
since Al's proven himself and done well in the division for such a long time, and for a while he's been a guy who has been overlooked. And Corey Sandhagen kind of just came out of nowhere a little bit and just started just had like unbelievable performances recently. And he really started climbing up the ladder. I think his last fight was against Lineker, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so he had an impressive win over Lineker. And I'm so sad about that, by the way, that they released Lineker, but that's neither here nor there. And what the fuck? Oh, wow. All right, I just want to make a quick announcement. First of all, yeah, I'm going to take Corey Sandhagen as well in my predictions. I think Sandhagen's going to win by, I want to say, submission. I'm going to say Sandhagen second-round submission. That's what I think I'm going to go with for that one.
Wow.
And another thing that
you
I
got him
just
with
want
finish?
To make. Yeah, I got him with a finish. And one thing I just want to make in an announcement real quick, I just read this headline. This just was reported 7 minutes. This was reported 7 minutes ago on MMAfighting.com. UFC heavyweight contender Francis Ngannou will take his talents to Hollywood as he has been added to the cast of Fast and Furious 9, set for a May 2020 release. Whoa.
That's a good
one,
Clint.
Let's go. Putting the UFC on the map, baby. Fast and Furious 9. I love the Fast and Furious series, man. So that right there is a huge thing for me. I was watching Too Fast, Too Furious the other day. That's my favorite one out of the whole series. And that's the second movie they came out with. I was watching that the other day like it was brand new. I done watched that movie like over 100 times. I love the Fast and Furious series. Oh, my God. Also, another thing that I wanted to tell you, too, is that I've been listening to that Port of Miami, too. And, man, that's
uh-huh.
a great album, bro. A great album.
Actually, I got it queued up to listen to tonight because I have been kind of busy here lately. So hopefully I'm going to actually get to listen to it tonight.
Yeah, you got to listen to it because, yo, ever since I played through the album probably like 10 times already easily. It's a really good album. Like it really all fits together so nice. It just plays all the way through so nice. You don't even realize you just listen to the whole album again. There's just so many good joints on there, man. They got everybody. They got John Legend. They got Nipsey. A whole bunch of other features, great features. Oh my God. Oh, they got they even got A Boogie on there. It's kind of like a new artist. A Boogie with the hoodie, they got him on there. Yeah. I didn't know if you knew who that was, but he actually did pretty good. Now I don't even listen to him really like that, but he had a song on there, and A Boogie actually didn't. He wasn't bad. I liked his feature he did with Ross. So that was a really good record. But yeah, you got to check that album, bro. Back to the predictions though, because my bad, I just kind of just steered us off course. I just had the Ngannou announcement and then started talking about the album. We'll have to do another show and talk about the album. But, yeah, so the next fight you have is the Devontae Smith versus, what was his name? Devontae Smith versus Kama Worthy. Who do you have in that fight?
I'm looking at Worthy's record. He's like 7-5. and I'm looking at Smith's record at 10-1, and I'm thinking that Smith should win this fight. But sometimes these last-minute replacement guys, they normally put up hell of a fights, man. So I don't think this fight is going to be as easy for Smith as most people probably think. But I'm gonna think, I think Smith wins it.
Yeah, I'm going that way too. I think Smith's going to get it done. He's, you know, as Worthy is taking the fight on a one-week notice, Worthy's just fought on July, I believe it's July 27th. He just fought. So by the time this fight, by the time this fight is here, you know, he
be under 30 days.
We'll, yeah, we'll be like 3 weeks out from his last time he fought in the cage. So I think that'll play a factor. I mean, his camp's probably only, it's only a couple days long. I mean, I still think he will put on a good performance for his UFC debut, but I do think Smith will win. I think Smith will, I'm going to say third round TKO for Smith. That's what I'm thinking for this one.
Okay, okay.
So that brings us into, I believe, the main card. Yeah, so now we're in the main card. So now you have Brunson, you have Derek Brunson versus Ian Heinsch. Who you got for that one?
Man, this is a tough one to pick because Ian has definitely been, he's been really, really hot here lately. He's up and coming. But Brunson is a veteran, man. He's a veteran to the game. It seems like he's working on different facets of his game. But with that being said, I'm going to go with Hunch, man. I think he's going to win, dog. I think he's going to pull out the victory against my man, Derek Brunson.
What did you say? You think Hunch is going to finish Derek Brunson?
No, I think he's going to win, but he's not going to finish him.
Okay. So, okay. So, I'm going to go with, for this one, I'm with you on this. I'm thinking that Hunch is like a submission guy, right? I for some reason, I really don't remember what he usually does. I want to say he's like a submission guy, though.
He's been winning here in the UFC basically via decision, so really can't use
okay.
that.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm going to go with Heinch on this one. I think Brunson needs a win. I don't remember Brunson. Oh, wait, but actually, no, Brunson, I want to say Brunson's last fight, last time I seen Brunson fight was against Theodoro. I think that was
last yeah,
time.
He won.
So I remember Brunson's fight, and he looked good there, but, I mean.
But Theodoro is
boring,
though, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. Theodoro just didn't look good either, so it was kind of hard to say that Brunson looked good when he was fighting a guy who looked just really bad, so. That's that, and but you know Brunson Hunch. Yeah, I'm with you on this. I'm gonna go with Hunch by decision. That's what I'm gonna think. I'm gonna think Hunch is gonna win by unanimous decision. It'll be a good fight, though. I think Brunson will bring a good fight. The next one after that is Gabriel Benitez versus Sodiq Youssef.
Oh man,
to be honest, I'm not familiar with these guys off top. I've heard of them, but I can't recall them. So you might just have to predict this one, and then I might just have to.
I'm really not familiar with these guys, but I remember seeing Youssef fight. I think he's an exciting young guy. But I'm looking at Benitez's record, and he's like 21-7. Whereas Youssef is 9-1. So this could come down to an experience thing. So I'm going to go with Yusuf, man. I think he beats the vet. I don't know how he beats the vet, but I think he beats him. Think it'll be a good fight. I'm just going with Yusuf on this one. He's got a good feel.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with you. I got Yusuf by unanimous decision also. And that brings us into our top three fights of the night, the triple header of the card. We got Yoel Romero versus Paulo Costa. Who you got for that one?
Oh, man, this is a personal fight because both guys been talking trash about each other. Costa has hand speed, man. He has power in his hands. But I think Romero is going to wrestle him, man. I don't think Romero is going to try to stand and bang with this guy. So, with that being said, I am going to roll with Yoel Romero by submission.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm going to go with Yoel Romero by, but not submission. I'm going to go with Romero third round TKO. I just think he'll wear him down. Costa's really big, muscular guy. I think he'll Romero will wear him down. I don't think he has the cardio to hang with Romero for 15 minutes, especially standing and banging like he's going to want to do. And Romero can also take a shot, so I don't think he's going to get put away in this fight at all. Romero, third round TKO. So we're pretty much on the same page for this whole card so far, bro.
Yeah. Sometimes it be
Sometimes it do be like that. So that brings us into your favorite fight of the night. You have Anthony Showtime Pettis versus a returning Nate Diaz coming off a 3-year layoff. Pettis versus Diaz, who you got?
Oh, man. This is actually a tough one to pick. But actually, it's kind of pretty easy to pick also. Pettis has been more active. I think Nate Diaz, 3 years off, is a long time to come back and fight a top guy. Although Nate, you know, in past fights, his cardio has been good. You know, he doesn't get tired. He can fight off his back. You know, he can stand up. Whereas Pettis put on two good fights, man, against Tony Ferguson. He put on a good fight against Tony Ferguson, and he put on a good fight against Darren Till. Thompson, I'm sorry. I'm gonna take Showtime, man. I think Showtime being a more active fighter, Nate with the ring rust. I think Showtime wins a probably unanimous decision, and then Nate will probably retire from UFC after this loss. If he wins, he'll call on Conor McGregor. So, but I think he loses. He comes out on the short end of the stick in this fight.
Man, this is tough because like there's a side of it that says, you know, what, like along the lines of what you're saying, where Pettis has been a lot more active, but then again, Diaz, you know, he comes to fight every time. This guy's game to fight at any time. So I don't know. This is really tough. It's like, so my heart says that Diaz is gonna finish Pettis and call out Conor McGregor because of the fan of Conor McGregor that I am and would want to see the trilogy. But the logic says that Showtime has been more active and he's looked unbelievable at welterweight and he'll probably outbox Diaz and just be the more sharp fighter in the fight and win a unanimous decision. So I'm rolling with you on that Pettis unanimous decision. And that brings us into the main event of the evening, the rematch, which has been over a year that we've been waiting for it and debating if it would ever happen. You have Daniel Cormier versus Stipe Miocic 2 for the heavyweight title. Who do you got in this one?
Oh, man, this is a tough one to pick, bro. DC has never lost a heavyweight. I think the last fight was a little bit more controversial than people think. I think Ipokes played a major role in the outcome. I think Stipe not fighting in the last year, that could turn out to be a bad move on his part. Stipe, the only way he wins, he has to beat DC within the first three rounds. He has to get him up out there within the first three rounds. I think if he doesn't, DC will wrestle him in the championship rounds and pull off a unanimous decision. With that being said, I'm rolling with Daniel Cormier to retain the belt over Stipe Miocic.
But how? By decision?
Yeah, by decision.
Okay. So, this one, so I'm rolling with you on this one as well, because Miocic, it's another situation where my heart says Miocic is going to look unbelievable, and it's going to be the best debate we've ever seen, you know, better than or equal to the one that fought Francis Ngannou at TD Garden in Boston. That was just an unbelievable Miocic overall, with the striking mixed with the wrestling, which both were just like on point with where they needed to be, you know, both offensively and defensively. He was just masterclass in that fight. But at the same time, Cormier doesn't lose to anybody except if your name is John Jones. So I'm going to go with Cormier. Logic says Cormier. And history says Cormier. He's never lost at heavyweight. And like I said, he doesn't lose to anybody unless your name is John Jones. So I think he'll beat Miocic. He's been very Cormier has been a lot more active. And I think that'll play a factor in the fight. I don't think Miocic will get finished. I think it'll go to decision. I think Miocic is going to have fixed the technical mistakes that made him lose the last fight. You know, he won't be, you know, leaving his chin open when he's coming out of the clinch like he was doing before. And Cormier won't be able to expose him and knock him out like people think. I think Cormier will go and win unanimous, maybe a split decision. I don't know, unanimous or a split decision. I guess I'll go with unanimous decision, but I do think it'll be close, though. Probably like 10-9 rounds and things like that. There won't be any 10-8s or anything like that. I think it'll be close. That's where I'm going with DC to keep the belt.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think there'll be any outlandish scoring in this fight. I think just out of respect for Stipe and what he has done for the heavyweight division, I don't think people would do him wrong on scorecards. So I'm hoping they wouldn't do him wrong on scorecards. So, yeah, man, I just don't think Stipe can beat him, man. As much as I like Stipe, and I know as much as you like Stipe, it's just hard to pick against DC at heavyweight. It's just hard.
Yeah, nah, it is, and like we've said, based on what we've seen, you know, undefeated at heavyweight, history shows and logic shows that you got to go with Cormier. He doesn't lose, so that's what that's at. You know, this, I'm amazed, bro. We literally picked the entire card with the same picks. That has never happened before.
Hey, man, sometimes it be like that, man. You gotta when you apply the science of fighting to, you know, the actual fights, sometimes it works out like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So that pretty much wraps it up for our show tonight. We pretty much covered everything we wanted to cover. UFC 241 on Saturday is about to be a movie. And, you know, I'm looking forward to a lot of amazing fights. And, yeah, that's pretty much it. Check out our articles on the Scrap. Check out our articles on the Scrap News. You know, check out Lee's articles on the Scrap News. Check out my articles. Check out the Scrap as, you know, overall, the scrap.co. Type that in. That bring you right to the website. And, yeah, shout out everybody. I love everybody. Stay positive. Do your thing. Like I always say, love everybody and pay it forward. And that's all I got.
Yeah, man.
Floor is yours.
Yeah, man. You know, shout out to the Scrap, everybody that's on our teams. You know, this year with the Ultimate Rider, me and my man Keith, we're going to be coaching, and we're going to be competing against each other starting here at the beginning of the month. You know, just having fun, building camaraderie with our teammates, you know, that are on the Scrap. You know, it's been a good pro. It's been a good platform to have. You know, I was kind of skeptical in the beginning, but, you know, things have worked out, you know, actually kind of reinvigorated me as far as, you know, sitting down, putting paper to pen and stuff like that. So that's been fun. Next time when me and Keith get up here, we got to talk about some other news about fights that have been announced coming up here as far as Michelle Waterson fighting Joanna, Cowboy versus Gaethje. You know, there's been some fights that's been announced that we ain't talked about. But we'll get there. Give us time. We'll get there. You know, there's been a lot of events going on with the UFC. Like my man Key said, everybody take care of yourself, take care of each other. Live, laugh, love. Live your life. Tell somebody you love them. And always have one good laugh every day. With that being said, everybody have a good evening. Peace.